Golf Smarter number 609 is brought to you by Ledbury. For those who want high-quality custom-fit dress shirts without paying high-quality custom-fit dress shirt prices, stay tuned to hear about getting 20% off your first order at ledbury.com/golfsmarter. Is your mind getting in the way of your game? Let's outwit the yips. Proven tips to free your golf mind with Don Levine.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Don.
Hi, Fred. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's great to have you on the show. We met recently. Actually, we met when I met Josh Zander as well. So I got a heck of a twofer out of that event. Being able to meet you and Josh and have you guys on the show to share your knowledge. You have a book that's important for golfers, whether they know it or not, and it's called Outwit the Yips. And it's proven tips to free your golf mind. Let's start with that. What do you mean, free your golf mind?
Oh, my gosh. We have to go way back, Fred, to when the yips first affected me. Maybe best to give you a little bit of background on myself. I started playing golf around age 12 or 13. My family was living in Puerto Rico at the time. My dad was a production manager for a lingerie company, and he ran the factories there, and then they'd ship everything to the U.S. And we moved back to the U.S., to the state of New York, Long Island, as a matter of fact, around age 15. And I was devastated because it was very difficult to play golf when it was 20 degrees outside. But I was able to get my handicap down to about a one when I graduated school and went on to play in college. And I thought I might have a nice college career. But believe it or not, at age 19, I was afflicted with the yips.
Oh.
And it was devastating, Fred. I remember to this day, and if any of your followers have experienced something like this, they'll remember exactly where they were when it first happened. I was on a practice putting green in Raleigh, North Carolina, hitting 6-foot putts to the hole, and all of a sudden my hands jerked and I missed it by 2 feet to the right.
Oh.
And I'm going, what the heck was that? Because I had never heard about the yips, I'd never experienced them before, and it was just devastating to me. And the short answer, or the short follow-up to that, is that on the putting green, the practice putting green, I was fine. Put me on the golf course, not even in competition, but just playing the golf course and being 3 feet away, I was a nervous wreck and usually missed the hole by a foot.
Oh.
So I lived with that for a lot of years and started trying to find answers, finding ways of getting around it, because I love the game of golf. I love being out there. I love being meeting new people all the time,
yeah.
And it's just devastating. And then I was not far from you at Peacock Gap Golf Club.
Yep.
And I was hitting putts on the green up there, and I had just seen an article in a Golf Digest magazine. So this would have been around 1982 or 3. And the magazine was from 1978. And it described, with photographs, how Bernard Langer would anchor the handle of his putter to his forearm. And it was suggested using this as a practice technique. So I decided to try it. But the real test, Fred, is not what happens on the putting green. It's what happens when you take it to the course.
Absolutely.
And this was the one technique that worked for me. And all of a sudden, I started gaining some confidence, and my handicaps started dropping again, and it was like a whole new person. And for 15 years, it worked wonderfully.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right.
I don't like the way you set that up of 15 years. But before you get to that 15-year mark, I'm just so interested that, well, you put the word confidence in there, and I think that probably has so much to do with it. For every golfer, whether they have the yips or not, if they're not confident in their game, that's going to follow them, right?
Yeah, exactly right. And that's what I call performance anxiety or mental interference. But really, one first has to figure out whether the problem is physical or mechanical. So if it's physical, there's a medical condition called focal dystonia. And my wife is a nurse practitioner at Stanford, and she worked for many years in pediatric neurology. So we've had a lot of discussions about focal dystonia. There's an interference that occurs in terms of the flow from the brain to the muscles and nerves, in this case, in the wrists and forearm. And there's like a disconnect. And when I would go to putt, the wrists would almost like fire just before or at the moment of impact on the golf ball, and it destroyed the stroke. So one has to figure out if it's physical or if it's mechanical. So if it's mechanical and you just have poor technique, and I remember chatting with Conrad Ray over at Stanford one day, who was the coach there, a wonderful coach, and he said that if you have good mechanics, that will reduce the likelihood of developing the yips. And I believe that to be very true. Hmm. But then the other part of it is the mental interference, the performance anxiety that creeps in. And that's, to me, what the book is really all about. Yes, there are techniques in there that you can choose to use a different type of grip or the way you hold club.
And we'll get into that, yeah.
Okay, but it's tricking the mind that is really the key to this. And I'll be happy to go over some of those different techniques with you.
Absolutely.
Most of which I was able to figure out just by trial and error. Because when I did start going onto like the internet or reading books, most of the people who are describing the problem and coming up with solutions are not afflicted themselves. And I believe they have no idea of that explosion that occurs just before impact that destroys any chance of having a positive result.
The title of your book, being Outwit the Yips, kind of infers that it's actually an entire mental-emotional condition, and yet you're saying physical or mechanical.
Well, it's both, because there is certainly focal dystonia. In this case, it's called task-specific focal dystonia because it's dealing with a certain part of the body, okay? And to tell, if I were to pick up a tennis racket and go to hit a forehand returning a ball from you, my hand sometimes will jerk just a little bit because it's a very similar motion to a little pitching technique on the golf course. Mm-hmm. Yet I can turn around and hit a backhand all day long without a problem. And I will describe, you know, a little bit later on, because I know we'll get into the fact that I use a left-handed putting technique now, and I don't have the problems with the yips left-handed.
Are you a right-handed golfer?
I do everything right-handed, but when I was a youngster, I could hit a baseball reasonably well left-handed, not with as much power, but I could hit it. And so after this 15-year period of, you know, great putting and then going through this time period where I couldn't do anything right, I started trying all these different techniques, and one of which was putting left-handed. And, Fred, it felt great right from the beginning. And, again,
wow.
I can picture where I was. It was at the Sharp Park Golf Course. And I actually played in a nice benefit there for the McKenzie Foundation a couple of months ago. But I'm practicing putting left-handed, and it felt great. The only problem I had was distance and direction.
That's the only problem you're having with your putting? Isn't that the problem?
That was it. No, that's easily remedied.
Oh.
So in terms of the distance control, one must understand that now I'm looking at the hole with my less dominant eye.
Oh.
And that makes a difference. Okay. In terms of the direction, I drew a line on the ball, and I line up the line with my intended line of the putt, not necessarily the pole, but wherever I want the ball to start.
Sure.
And the combination of those two techniques enabled me to putt really well, eventually win the club championship at Stanford. Not bad for someone with the yips.
Not bad at all. That's impressive. So what happened? Okay, I want to get back to that. What happened 15 years later?
Well, 15 years later, I started coming up with different types of remedies. I remember playing in some charity event, and on one hole, I would look at the hole when I putted. Another time, I would close my eyes. I would hold the club one-handed, just every tool that I could possibly come up with, some of which worked okay, some of which didn't work at all. And it was just a trial and error technique to be able to find out what worked best for me, because the solution is not the same for anybody. But you know, I hope I throw enough ideas out there that someone's going to find one or two that work for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So when you started putting left-handed, did that become a mental distraction away from your issues? Because you were totally focused on, okay, I'm trying to learn something and do something that is completely uncomfortable.
Sure. I think it's a combination. Number one, if I was able to hit four or five good putts in a row on the golf course, I'm going, this is okay. This works. Okay. And so there was less of a tendency to run into the performance anxiety issue. Okay. Plus, I became much more proficient because now I'm doing it over and over again. See, one of the things that people don't, have changed their mind about over the years where the yips is concerned, they used to call it a problem that resulted from repetition, doing the same movement over and over and over again for decades on end. But we find now, or at least I have found now, that that's not the case. There are quite a few young golfers I've seen using a long putter. Now, maybe it's partly because it's a little bit more proficient doing it that way for that particular individual. But there are some people who just flinch at the bottom of the swing a little bit, and it's helped them a lot. And that was another reason I wrote the book, because it coincided with the changing of the USGA rule about anchoring the putter.
Right.
So it was kind of timely where that was concerned.
Yeah, good timing on that.
Yeah.
So did the yips generally show up on the putting green, or do they happen at any place on the golf course?
Well, that's an interesting question that you raise, Fred, because it was about 2 years after winning the club championship that the problem seeped into my chipping and pitching.
Oh, no.
That's what I said. You got to be kidding me.
How did it manifest itself? How did all of a sudden you're going, uh-oh, I've got a new problem, and now I'm stuck with it?
Well, the hands would flinch at the bottom just before impact, and I would either catch it thin or hit it fat. And it was so demoralizing. and I should reflect back to my college career. When I was having problems with the yips, I would hope that my approach shot to the green would end up on the fringe so I could chip it. Because I would frequently chip in one, sometimes two chips around. I was that good as a chipper. But now it's into my regular game, and I can't control it again. So I went back to the drawing board and started trying different techniques, different grips, and so forth. Eventually, I taught myself to pitch left-handed as well. And I went out one day with only a left-handed sandwich. I left my regular 56 degree in the bag. And I got up and down for pars on the third and fourth holes at Stanford. And I'm going, okay, this works. And when I look at videos of my swing, I think my technique is better left-handed than is right-handed, actually. but I've also learned, Fred, from some of the other people that we know in common, like Josh Zander, who's a wonderful, wonderful instructor. And I did have the opportunity to listen to the podcast last week, which was wonderful. And I was there when he did that clinic, and I was able to observe it. And I've probably seen the same clinic about four or five times, and he's always just the best. So one of the things that Josh taught me some time ago was to use the bounce of the sandwich more effectively. And remind me if I forget. I want to get back to choosing the proper club to chip, because he's a big advocate on that, and so am I with the girls that I coach. But when he taught me how to use the sandwich to catch the ball right at the bottom of the swing, as opposed to having it back in my stance like I always did, coming down, descending blow on it, I finally learned how. But the best way for me to learn was by chipping one-handed and using the bounce of the sand wedge. When I put my left hand on the club, I wasn't as effective. And so for a while, I just chipped one-handed. And this is just an ongoing trial for me in terms of coming up with new techniques all the time. Because after he gave that clinic at Stanford, I was chipping off really, really tight lies. And that's when the problem really occurs. Sure. In terms of yips or the flinch at the bottom. And I was hitting beautifully with one hand. And then I said, okay, I've got to put a second hand on it. And the first few didn't work very well. But then I really lightened my left hand on the grip. And I actually went to a 10-finger grip. so I could just use my right arm, shoulder, and hand to hit the ball, yet still controlling the handle of the club with my left hand. And I found that was extremely effective. So for the past couple of weeks that I've been playing since that day with Josh, I've used that 10-finger grip with my sand wedge for chipping off tight lies, and it's been magnificent.
Wow, congratulations. As a matter of fact, before that clinic started, there was, and I talked about this a couple episodes ago, but before the clinic with Josh started, he was working with one guy one-on-one about his chipping, and he was starting to show him how to chip with the one hand, how to use one hand, how to not fall back. And Josh wasn't even looking at the ball. He was looking straight ahead at the guy and was able to just get these great shots off. And so there's a short video on our Golf Smarter TV channel of Josh giving that tip. So if that's something that intrigues you of what Don was just talking about and you want to see it, go check that Golf Smarter TV Josh Zander short video out. There's two of them with him now. Anyway, yeah, sorry to interrupt that.
And I've seen Josh do a long game clinic also with, you know, full shots, and he's just as good with those.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to him more. We had a long conversation the other day, and I enjoyed him so much. I can't wait to have him back on the show.
Yeah, in fact, I just received a phone call this morning from one of the mothers, one of the girls that I coaches, and said, who would you recommend as a swing coach? And this is a young lady who just made first team All-League. She averages about 37, 38 for nine holes, shot 74 yesterday in the league championship, you know, under that pressure and the heat and all that. And the first name I mentioned was Josh.
Not me.
I'll have a call.
Done. Sorry, we have to go now. Now, you've mentioned twice now that you coach girls. Tell me more about this.
So it was about 5 years ago, Fred. Let me backtrack for a second. I coached a junior golf team for about 15 years. And we used to play up at Lake Merced. And it was just, I had a wonderful time playing with them. And it was always just an enjoyable afternoon. We would play there from the end of May until the middle of August when we would have an international competition. But it was 5 years ago that I received a phone call from two of my clients who had daughters going to this school, Castilleja, and they said, we need a golf team, a golf coach. The girls' golf coach just resigned. Could you help out? And I said, sure, I'd love to help out. So that was in 2013, I guess. And I fell in love with coaching the girls there. Just finished my fifth season. We've got the playoffs coming up. We won the championship 4 years out of five.
Wow.
My record is 55-4, but I don't take credit for that because I had great young players all these years. And it's just a pleasure working with them.
Oh, that's fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's really fun working with them because there are, well, this year we only had eight girls on the team, but in the past we've had as many as 12 or 13, which makes it a little bit difficult. But with only eight, I can really focus on each and every one of them. And we spent a lot of time talking about psychology on the golf course and course management, your areas. And a couple of years ago, it was just before I won the club championship, my game was okay, but it was not great. And although I managed to beat my brothers that year, we were playing in Chicago, and I should mention that I come from a very, very avid golf family. Mm. Two brothers, one of whom has won his club championship twice, a sister who plays golf at a high level, whose son just received a scholarship for next year for a Division III school and drives the ball 50 yards past us, Fred. It's embarrassing now. But we've always been around golf, thanks to my dad starting us off in the sport in Puerto Rico.
Okay, so wait.
Okay.
That sounds like pressure to me. Having a very competitive golf family from the time you're a little kid. That sounds like a tremendous amount of pressure. How much impact do you think that had on you developing the yips?
I would say quite a bit because I do remember in Chicago, playing with my brothers, it was a par three at par three hole, and I had about a 15-foot birdie putt, and I felt a little bit of a jerk using the Bernhard Langer technique.
Wow.
And this was before it just went haywire, and I managed to get through it. But yes, because this is the only thing that counts is beating your brothers.
It's
So Josh Zander, in his podcast with you, talked about, you know, not keeping score.
Oh, well, I hate that idea.
You know, when you're playing your brothers, you're keeping score.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So,
especially in relation to par. I know how much over par or under par I might be. And they're both exceptional golfers.
Wow.
Fun to play with.
Oh, well, you're cured now. We figured you out. It was family.
Probably so. I appreciate that.
How old are the girls that you coach? They're high school?
They're high school. So we have two freshmen, three juniors, and three seniors. And six players are in each match, and you choose the best five out of the six scores.
Are you their swing coach or are you their head coach?
They all have their own swing coach. Most of them have their own swing coach.
And I don't mean head coach of the team. I mean the psychological part of the game and the course management, mental game. Is that what you do with them?
I spend most of my time on the ladder, although I do work with some of the girls on swing techniques. So one, for example, has had a really tough time. She's a freshman. She's relatively new to the game. She's just started taking lessons with one of the instructors, Perry at Stanford, who used to coach high school golf in Nevada years ago and was a wonderful instructor. And I've started working with her also. And yesterday on the range before going to the match, now she had to sub for someone who was sick, who would normally have played in the match. And this girl was just a nervous. She was so nervous. I can't tell you. And I felt so badly for her, Fred. But I'm saying to myself, I've got to come up with something that's going to work today. So after a couple of different tries, I said, let's try turning your left hand over on top of the club a little bit more, because she was just leaving everything way out to the right. And she
wanted her to move her left hand. She's a right-handed golfer.
Right hand. So we wanted to see two to three knuckles on the left hand. Okay, strengthen it quite a bit.
Versus just seeing one.
So we created it so the V between the thumb and forefinger was going towards her chin, where it really should have been in the first place.
Great, thank you.
All of a sudden, the ball started taking off like a rocket. But, you know, that's the driving range. You get to the golf course with the pressure and all these other girls from all these other schools watching, and it's intimidating, especially for a 13-year-old who is not very experienced in the world of golf. And so she was playing like in the seventh or eighth group off, because she wasn't, you know, that great. Had a scoring average of high 50s probably for the season. Mm. And I'm working with her on every psychological trick I could come up with, you know, creating that positive mood, talking about PVC. So PVC is something in the book which stands for Plan, Visualize, Commit. And I learned that from a wonderful instructor, Matt Flanagan, who's down in San Jose at Los Lagos Golf Course. And I think he's the Northern California Teacher of the Year this year. And he was my instructor in 2007 when I made some of the changes. But that was
sounds like we're going to have to get him on the show.
He's an amazing guy. And he talks about, you know, the mind part of golf as well as the physical technique part. And he taught me PVC. So between... And in terms of my swing, the adjustments that he made was basically just to pull my right shoulder away from the line at address a little bit. And then he taught me PVC that same day. And I put it into practice. And that was the reason that I won the club championship. And I've taught this to each and every one of the girls. And I have each one of them using it now. And I've got to believe that that's one of the things that has moved them up to the next level, many of them. Some of the scores this year that they've shot are astounding, Fred. One of the girls, who's coached by Josh Zander, shot a 31 at Poplar Creek for nine holes this year in windy conditions. That's four under par.
Wow. That's impressive.
She shot 69 yesterday. Another freshman shot 69. We had a 74 and a 77 and 85. I mean, the quality of play for high school girls now is just off the charts.
Wow. Well, if I can speak for the Golf Smarter audience, I'd like to say I hate her. That's not who we are over here at Golf Smarter. No, siree. We're ecstatic with the low 40s.
It blows my mind that with the heavy workload they have, because Castilleja is one of the top-rated academic schools in the United States, with the workload they have, most of these girls also play a musical instrument at a very high level. I don't know how they do it. I couldn't do all that, Fred.
Yeah. Yeah, kids are pushed pretty hard, and everything is scheduled. No one gets to hang out in front of the house and play catch anymore. Anyway, you know, that's a completely different conversation.
They can get on their smartphones quite a bit, though, Fred.
Yeah, it's true. They're always in touch with one another. So I want to get to, in the book, again, let's call it Outwit the Yips, Proven Tips to Free Your Golf Mind by Don Levine. I want to talk about some of the techniques for overcoming the yips. Let's start with putting.
Okay. Well, in putting, there are different types of grips that one can try. In the book, I talk about a three-finger curl in which I take my trail hand and just curl the three fingers into the palm of the hand. So you're essentially just pinching the grip with a thumb and forefinger. Okay. And I should have a club while I'm doing this with you, but I don't. And you can use.
I'll go get one.
Yeah, that'll help. That reminds me, Fred, of the editor of my book. So I found this great guy who is a British chap living in Finland, of all places. And we're doing this over the winter. So I would do my my writing late in the evening after work, and he would receive it by email when he woke up in the morning. But in Finland, it's 23 degrees below zero, and he can't go outside to try these things, so he's hitting balls off his wall in his office. And he's been afflicted with it to a certain extent also, and was able to give me a lot of good input, including information about a fellow named Jason Palmer, who's a European PGA pro, who qualified for the tour over there chipping one-handed because he had the yips.
Wow. So we're going back to the pinch with the trailing hand.
Okay, so another one would be...
Wait. Now I'm holding a putter, so I'm pinching, and those three fingers that are laying up against my palm, do I rest those three fingers up against the club, or am I just pinching with my hand out?
Nope, the three fingers are curled into the palm, so they are not holding the club.
No, I understand, but the backs of my fingers, are they laying up against the club, or am I pinching where they're not?
Yes, they're laying up against the club, and you're pinching with the right thumb and forefinger for right-handed
person. And how tight of a pinch am I making?
Gentle. Everything is gentle.
Okay.
Because one of the problems when someone has the yips is that there's a change in tension when you go to hit the putt. So right. You want to try and keep it soft, you know, the Sam Snead technique, you know, just tight enough so you're holding the bird and it won't fly out, but you won't kill it by smothering it.
Right. And do these very popular new big grips help with that, or do you think they...
I think they do, because I do own a right-handed putter right now, and it has the fat grip, oversized handle grip, and it does make it a little bit easier. It helps take the hands out of it a little bit, which I think is helpful, enables you to putt more with the arms and shoulders of the body. And I do know that the first time I tried putting right-handed on the golf course, you know, one of these new techniques, I was using a conventional grip, but looking at the hole. And that's what worked for me. I made four birdies that day and I go, okay, this works too. So it's just a matter of trying all these different things. So the three-finger curl was very effective. I use a reverse grip, in other words, lead hand low when I putt.
That was my next question.
Yep, and I find that just helps a little bit. I also like a little bit of a forward press. But the one thing we haven't talked about yet, and there are lots of ideas in terms of how to hold the club, we haven't talked about yet about how to trick the mind, which I think is just as, in fact, probably more, much more
important. Much more important.
Much more important. So one of the things that helps with both chipping, pitching, and putting is to chant or count. I call it a form of music therapy, even though it's not technically music therapy. But to me, it is, and it works for me, so it works, so it's fine. So with hip chipping, I will either count 1-1,000, 2-1,000, or 1-2, or you're going to love this one, Ernie Els. And we all know about the problems that Ernie had at putting at the Masters that time.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, in fact, somebody asked me, I said, Don, are you going to come up with a different chant now that Ernie is afflicted with the yips? I said, no, I'm sticking with it because it works for me.
Tiger Woods.
There you go. Freddie Green. Whatever.
No, don't go there.
So it would be helpful to be able to do a video on this, and that's probably not a bad idea. But if you did ER knee L's, ER would be a slight forward press, knee would be the backswing, and L's would be the finish. It's not impact, Fred, because impact is where the problem is occurring. We want to get through the swing.
Oh, that's
so we want
huge.
The finish of the swing to be L's, ER knee L's. And it's the same way with chipping or pitching. You want to make sure you finish the chant and facing the target with your upper body all the way through, not the moment of impact where you finish the chant.
Wow, that's also really good.
A number of different tips in the book where I create visuals. So one of them is called grip to hip, grip to hip. So I want to get the feeling that I'm going to take the grip of the club, the handle of the club, and get that to my lead hip as I swing. So I'll start with a little bit of a forward press, grip, backswing is two, and hip is all the way through the follow through. Now, what you can add there also might be elbow belt. So if I want to take my right elbow and make sure I get it to the left side of my belt when I finish the swing, I'm going to chant elbow belt. And it gives me a combination of the rhythm plus the visual, which seems to help a lot. And finally, one of the really, really good techniques is contrary to what they always teach you about keeping your head down. Have you heard that a few times, Fred?
Oh, sure.
You don't keep your head down. You look away before impact.
What?
So what happens here is I'll take my backswing, and just as I start down, probably about when my hands are getting to my right hip or thigh, my eyes rotate towards my landing spot. And what happens is that the eyes draw the head around, which draws the shoulders around and enables me to finish the swing without flinching at the bottom.
That's absolutely fascinating, because we've talked so much about things like looking at the hole while you're putting,
yep,
or keeping your head down and looking for the bright spot of the ball after it's gone on the grass,
yep,
right? You know, that,
yep,
the visual trick. But no one's,
yep,
ever said, move your head before you hit the ball. That's amazing. But I guess if you have psychological performance anxiety, that,
yep,
that would help. Oh, my gosh. That's great.
I'll go one better.
Okay. Do it.
If I'm missing fairways with my tee shots, what do you think I do?
You
look away.
You look away from...
With my tee shot, with my driver.
Wait. So now where everyone's going, oh, I lifted my head.
Right.
That's what you're doing? You go, yeah, good job.
Well, I'm turning it. I'm not lifting it. I'm turning it. So as I start down and my hands get close to my right hip, my eyes rotate towards the target. And it drags my head through, drags my shoulder through the entire upper body, and I finish on the left side. And my driving performance has increased as a result of this. So most of the time, that's exactly what I do.
Wow. All right. Now, before we go, I need to get you wanted to talk about choosing the proper club to chip.
Ooh, yeah, big one. So I know that Josh mentioned the same thing in the podcast that I listened to last week. I don't know why it is, but all the girls want to grab their sandwich for chipping around the green. And, you know, when you learn to play golf back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, the theory was get the ball on the ground and have it run like a putt. And all the great instructors I know have always taught that. And
yeah, it's
always,
yeah, we've so talked about that hundreds of times, literally hundreds of
so
times.
Much fly the ball in the air 10 feet to a spot, then try to be exact at 30 feet to a spot. And so we work on this frequently now. Go out to the green, and they are seeing that their percentages of success increase by landing the ball on the green and letting it roll versus trying to fly it there. Now, they're all good enough to be able to fly it to the hole when needed. And so I teach them, you know, how to increase the bounce of the club, you know, like and all the things that I know, Fred, I've stolen from other people, especially Josh and Matt Flanagan and others. So there's nothing really that new that's out there, but yeah, go back to basics on most of these things. And the other thing that I always talk with the girls about is my 70% rule. And this is another really, really important feature to improve one's golf game, especially at that age. I always want to know or feel that I can pull off a shot, maybe a trouble shot, 7 out of 10 times, so 70% of the times before I'll attempt it. And it's worked very well, and the girls are getting out of trouble better these days because they know what they can do and what they can't do, and, right. and what they're comfortable doing, especially under the gun when there's a lot of pressure.
Well, and that's for those people who can, who have the time or can practice every day for hours.
I don't know a lot of those people.
Because I've seen a lot of guys out on the golf course, and women, who don't get a lot of chance to practice, and they've tried shots on the course that they saw on TV once. It doesn't work, but they try it.
The other thing I just like to add is that I really do believe that all of these problems are fixable. And I had about 10 test subjects prior to doing the book, and I was able to help each and every one of them, some within 3 or 4 minutes. And I remember watching, and I think I mentioned this in the book, on the Golf Channel, Michael Breed, who's a wonderful instructor, mm-hmm. confided that he himself was afflicted and found it to just be an overwhelming problem. Mm-hmm. But there are lots of these ways to trick the mind. And I've got friends of mine who are doing this, and they just love it.
So I guess the goal is to try to trick the mind that you're a good golfer.
Fake it till you make it.
There you go. Fake it till you make it. All right. Don Levine. It's DonLevine. The book is called Out With the Yips, Proven Tips to Free Your Golf Mind. Where can we find the book?
It's available on Amazon in paperback or in ebooks.
Great. And do you have a website?
I do have a website. I think it's outwiththeyips.org.
.org?
Yeah. .com was already taken. Somebody jumped in.
And so the charity for outwiththeyips.org are Bucks for Don. Don, thanks so much for your time, for coming on and sharing this. I really enjoyed it. And I'm not going to ask you about getting on the course.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be the next question, Fred. You're always more than welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. And good luck with the championship with the girls. And I think you're doing some great work. We all appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Oh, it's a labor of love. Thanks for having me, Fred. Enjoyed it.
This episode is brought to you by Ledbury. For those who want high-quality sports coats, pants, sweaters, ties, and custom-fit dress shirts. Let me tell you about the sweater I just received from Ledbury. Actually, there's not a lot to say, except when I did the fashion show for my wife, which is a rare thing for me to be the one on display. You know how it is, right? Can I show you what I bought today? Of course. My married son often thanks me for teaching him that skill. Anyway, it's not so much how great the sweater looked on me. It's the fact that this is not a sweater I would have chosen at the store. And it got an impressive wow from my wife. Now, choosing clothes is not my strong suit. But having the expert help from Ledbury Stylists made all the difference. Their customer service is really first rate. My stylist was intimately familiar with their product line, and when I described my needs, he provided options which allowed me to pick exactly what I wanted. Actually, he led me to a number of different options, and I went for the beautiful Camel Heather Brewer mock neck sweater. But I promise you, it's not the last item I'll be ordering, because there were so many shirts that were the patterns I liked, the style I prefer, and the perfect fit. Because they're so concerned that you're happy, they make sure that you can take advantage of returning any item with no hassle whatsoever. With Ledbury, you're not dealing with a huge corporation or a call center. When you have questions about an order or a product, you get through to a real person who knows about the company and their products right away. That's probably why Ledbury has received 1,000 five-star reviews. Actually, you could make that 1,001, because I couldn't be happier with my beautiful Ledbury sweater. So visit ledbury.com/golfsmarter today and use the code GOLFSMARTER at checkout to get 20% off your first order. Ledbury is L-E-D as in David, B as in boy, U-R-Y. ledbury.com/golfsmarter. Hey, I want to thank every one of you who have recently submitted Golf Smarter reviews and are now going to receive a free book. If you want to get one of the three books we're offering, And if you haven't heard about them, listen to the past episodes, because that's what we talked about. All you have to do is write a review where you get your favorite podcasts and send me an email to let me know that you did it. Also, thanks for submitting your questions, comments, and suggestions to our new Hey Fred voicemail. Now, if you have a question for me or about your game or gear, call this number, 415-761-1498. The number's going to be in the show notes so that you can just click on it for it to automatically make the call. Just leave your name, where you're from, and then go ahead and leave your question or comment. After I review your message, if it's a game improvement or equipment question, I'm going to forward it to the appropriate expert and get them to respond. So let me hear from you. 415-761-1498. Have you ever heard of the instructor Dean Weinmuth? Well, along with his high-profile work at the Golf Channel and Golf Digest, he was also Phil Mickelson's coach for 13 years. Yes, that Dean Weinmuth is who I'm talking about. Well, I just recorded an hour-long conversation with him, and that's what's coming up next. Don't forget, download the free Golf Smarter app and write your review in iTunes to get a free book. Check it out at golfsmarter.com.